wanted to jump back to Jesus' time. And our opening slide was Jesus is born. That was what the Sunday school presented, was that Jesus is born. And next Sunday we get to celebrate his coming. And it is so exciting. I mean, how many of you guys, if you don't have grandkids or young kids anymore, do you even think back to when you were a kid, how exciting Christmas was and is? I can remember going to places like, we take our kids out to Hudson's Bay because they had the best in-store Christmas display. And in those days, it didn't start until December, which was nice. It didn't start in June. It started in December. So you would keep them out of the store, and you'd walk through, and they'd be like, oh, maybe 3 and 4. And I was like, look at all this stuff. And they had a really beautiful Christmas display of all, like a Christmas village they had built down in the hallways. And my kids, especially my son, was afraid of Santa. He did not want to see him. So one time they would go and he'd sort of look at the village and say, he's not here right now. Okay, so they would go and they peer in all the windows and looking. And Mrs. Claus comes and she says, well, Santa will be here in 10 minutes. And I said, I know, keep him away. My kids are looking, right? They just did not want to. And eventually my son told me why. He didn't like the idea of a strange man running around in his house on Christmas Eve. So, and I think we celebrate it so big is because in our hearts, even if we do not believe in Jesus, God just sort of places that in our hearts that this is a season when we should be celebrating because Jesus comes. Even if we don't know why we're celebrating, God says this is why you're celebrating. So the whole world out there that doesn't know why they're celebrating and giving gifts and having feasts, they're actually celebrating with us the coming of Jesus. So I'm just going to jump into Jesus' life. We're going to look at Matthew 21, 12 to 16. And this is just, this passage of scripture is one of the two times that Jesus clears the temple. So I'm going to read these couple verses first, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening. Then we're going to look and see what happens next. So we've got in the first couple verses, it says, Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. So what's happening at this time right now is that this is a Passover feast. And Passover feasts are one of the three major feasts that every male Jewish guy was expected to attend, regardless of what country you lived in. And this Passover was the last Passover before Jesus' crucifixion. In a few days, he's going to be arrested, beaten, and then die on the cross. So this is that Passover. And if you think about it, in those days, you've got people coming from countries all around the known world. You've got Jewish men coming, many of them bring their families. And in those days, when you came to those feasts, you had to bring the sacrifice. But you might have been walking for days. You cannot bring, if you're well off, your lamb for sacrifice, because you can't carry it. You've got everything else you're carrying. And trying, if you're impoverished, you had to bring two doves. Well, you couldn't. They'd be flying all over the place. So what you would do, you would arrive in Jerusalem, and in one of the courts of the temple area, you could buy your sacrifice. And of course, you also had to bring your temple tithe. And you're from different countries. If you're working outside of the temple, you're getting paid in Roman coins, most likely. But you had to have temple money. So they also had to go to the money changers. So you could have your money exchanged for temple coins. And the reason Jesus was so upset was because the people who were selling the sacrifices and exchanging the money, they weren't doing it out of the goodness of their hearts as a service. They were doing it to rob everyone blind who had no choice. They were charging exorbitant amounts for this. And Jesus said, this is enough. These people have come to worship and to pray, and you're robbing the blind. And that's why he clears the temple. Because he's just incensed at what is going on here. that temple area is cleared. So go to the next slide there. And it says, the blind and lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. Do you realize that in that day, the blind, the lame, those who had physical ailments, they were not allowed in the temple. They were not allowed to come in and worship. Because there was just this belief that if something was wrong with you physically or emotionally, what it means is that you or your family's done something really, really big and God's getting back at you. That was the prevailing belief in the Jewish culture in that day. So they didn't let anyone in who seemed to have ailments. You just could not come in. You were not allowed to come in. But as soon as all their riffraff is gone, they just know Jesus is there. He's got rid of all those who oppose us. Let's go in. And they all go in. And the scripture continues on, and he healed all of them. And then in verse 15 it says, but when the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, and, I like this part, the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. And they said, do you hear what these kids are saying? They asked him. Yes, Jesus replied. Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. And the you is, he's talking about God. Interesting. I find this absolutely fascinating. Because here we've got, Jesus has cleared the temple. People are now free to come. Those who've never been allowed to come to God can now come. And then spontaneously, all the kids that have been in the temple gather around him. They are leaping and shouting. The kids are praising and shouting. Are they going to be saying, Hosanna, Jesus? Are they going to be leaping around like a bunch of jumping beans? They're going to be leaping around like a bunch of Mexican jumping beans. They are just excited beyond being excited. And it's interesting what they say. They say, Hosanna to the Son of David. This phrase is reserved for the Messiah. They know spiritually, instinctually in their hearts that Jesus is really the one that God promised right back at the beginning of time when Adam and Eve decided they wanted to go independent from God. They knew this in their spiritual hearts. No one necessarily told them. The religious leaders, most of the adults were debating, is he or isn't he? The religious leaders decided that he's not, because he's not following their rules. But the kids know. I mean, kids have, especially up to about age 6, they've got this spiritual vacuum that they can just, they have insight like we do not believe. We don't understand. Think of my son. I had both kids, they're 16 months apart, Brent's 3, so Carla's about a year and a half, and I'm just heading off to the mall so I can see other adults in the daytime and at least not feel totally with my kids all the time. And we're reeling off, and I just got from the stroller, and I'm just walking along, and Brent sticks his head out from the side, and he says, Mom, is Jesus God? He's like 3, and I go, yes. Took his head back in, we walk a little further. And sticks it out again. If Jesus is God, how can God be God? And he's already asking questions about the Trinity. And he's 3. I did not teach him things about a triune God. This is his brain in connection with the Father. Because he didn't have all of our junk in it yet. So they're just open. I mean, Carla was always the same. Sometimes she'd be talking, all of a sudden she looks over, she goes, Jesus. And you know, she's seeing something that we do not see. And when you read it through the kids' Bible, and they're talking about when Moses was the Spirit of God speaking to him, and they both said, this is how I know when God's speaking to me. And they're like 5 or 6, and they're giving me all the ways they know that God speaks to them. They have this vacuum. And this is what we're seeing here, this miracle of kids. And what I really like is that Jesus, he quotes from Psalm 8, verse 2. But the entire verse, I want to read the entire verse, and it says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. So kids, because they don't have all this intellect and all the doubts and that kind of stuff that we as adults have when we do all this reasoning, they just believe. And because of that, they have spiritual power that we do not even comprehend. Because that's what it says here in this verse. It says God has actually ordained, he calls for the praise of the kids. So we're having worship here Sunday mornings, and we've got these lovely little kids running in the front, and they're singing and leaping, and they're up in the front, and their parents are trying to capture them, and some screaming their way out. But this is the delight of God, when he's releasing spiritual power in our midst. Because that's what kids do. So don't let us ever be like the religious leaders and go,
do you hear what the children are saying? They're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're praising you, Jesus, and they're jumping around praising you.
Let's be like Jesus and say, isn't it awesome? Because they're releasing spiritual power to actually minister to us. Like when you watch the video up there, what went on in your hearts? Probably delight, peace, a bit of rest. Thinking, couldn't this moment last forever? And that's God ministering to each of our adult hearts his love, his peace, his love to the kids as they minister to us. So I want us to take that this Christmas season and take that into next week and then even into the new year.